It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you joined us today. I want you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. We have moved to the book of Philippians. If you haven't been with us for a couple weeks, you may not have realized we went from Jonah to Philippians. We finished the book of Jonah. Now we're off to Philippians, and we're finding the sweet verses of Scripture there. Philippians chapter 1, and we'll read the first 11 verses of that book. While you're going through that to find it, if you have been with us the last couple weeks, you'll realize that we have been studying about the time when Paul first went to Philippi and established the church of Philippi. And then he is writing this book, this letter back to the church at a later time. And we found that back in Acts chapter 16. So I would like for you to open both of those, put your hand right in the middle of it. While you're finding those things, I want to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church, and we're located in Hamilton, Illinois. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. And I hope that you enjoy the program. We do have services throughout the week, and church service, Sunday school begins at 9:30 and church at 10:35. We have many other things through the week, and so please that you would come and join us if you would like, if you do not have a church home. Now, if you have found the book of Philippians, I hope that you have. I hope that you have your Bible open to this verse, that you can follow along with me. Again, Philippians chapter 1, we're going to read the first 11 verses. Paul and Timothy, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God unto every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making all requests with joy. For your fellowship is in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long after you all in the tender mercies of Jesus Christ. In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being full of the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of his precious word before we begin the study. Father, I ask you that you will please guide and lead us as we close out concerning the jailer in Philippi in the book of Acts and then begin the study here in Philippians. I ask that you will just lead us through these verses of Scripture, that your name will be lifted up and glorified, that folks will come to know you as their Savior and trust solely and completely in you, and that they'll begin then a walk day by day in service to you. Now please, Lord, that you'll guide us through these words. If, Father, there be folks out there that know you, and I know there are many that have already trusted in you, I ask that this be just a time of growth, that they can walk closer to you and walk with more power and strength and trust in the very resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And please, Lord, that we all come alive in you and walk after you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I shared with you that I wanted you to look into both areas of Scripture, I ask that you now turn back to the book of Acts. I told you last week there I take two Bibles, and I have one open to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, and we're going to begin reading with verse 22 there. And then I have another Bible open into Philippians chapter 1, so that I can see both verses back and forth. Now, we have looked at some sweet verses of Scripture here for the last couple weeks, and we have studied concerning Paul's trip from Troas up to Philippi, how that he heard the word of from the man of Macedonia that called and said, come and help us, come up and help us. And Paul immediately went unto the country of Macedonia, unto the city of Philippi. And that's where we find him meeting up with this the seller of purple, and her name was Lydia. And we find that she was saved, she heard the Word of God, and the Word of God touched her heart, and she come to know the Lord Jesus. And then she followed Him in baptism. And oh, it's so glorious to watch, and such a wonderful time to have people, not only that I know personally, do that same thing as they trust in Jesus, and you can see it in their life as they change. And the first command we have is to follow the Lord in baptism, and Lydia did that, and she'd followed the Lord in baptism, and then invited Paul into her house that he may find some comfort in his travels, because she wanted to show the love of the Lord Jesus back to this man that led her to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then we find the woman with the spirit of divination. She was controlled by the devils, and we talked about how that the masters, she had many masters, and so, or at least two, because it says it's plural. So undoubtedly, whatever this woman did, it made them much money, because it wasn't just one man that owned her, but there were at least two or more that owned her, and it upset these people so much. And there was so much money that they felt was lost that they decided that they should do something with this Paul. And Silas was along, and I said I was going to be reading with verse 22, Acts chapter 16. But let's back up just a little bit so I can just read through these verses of Scripture. And I'll begin with verse 16. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she for many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned unto the Spirit, and commanded thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, she changed. When that old demon left her, she changed, and it got right to the very place that it hurt, and that was their billfold. It hurt them right in the pocketbook, and it hurt them immediately. And they caught Paul and Silas, and drew them unto the marketplace, unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." No, it didn't. It troubled their pocketbook. That's what we talked about last week. "They teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." And that's where we ended last week, is in this jailer that was given the responsibility to keep Paul and Silas in the prison. And he did. He took them down. He put them in stocks, who received them, verse 24, "having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." So they were placed in stocks against against the wall. It was probably the inner prison where that they could not even see daylight. It's not like our prisons today. This prison here was probably just dug out of the earth, may have been stone, may have just been dirt. And here was placed Paul and Silas for one thing, and that is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, for delivering this woman from the bondage of Satan and the level of control that Satan had on her. As they delivered that spirit away, immediately her master saw that they were losing money. She was no longer had the ability to be a soothsayer or to be a fortune teller. We listed last week just a couple of things. You know, the old devil would love us to worship him. And if he can't do that, if he can't accomplish that real very clearly and successfully, he'll bring it in other ways. He has people that attend church that also worship and think of the crystal of being some power. And if you're one of those, I ask you that you get away from it, because it is no different than Satan itself and serving and worshiping Satan, because it's one of Satan's tools. And you have the horoscopes. People think that there's no problem with reading through the horoscopes in the newspaper. Big deal, you know, that's nothing, just kind of reading down what we think's going to happen. Get away from it. Stay away from it. And then if your children are playing with a Ouija board, those things have been for sale for years. You know, all those things not only praise Satan and lift up Satan, but they also fill somebody's pocketbook. And I don't know whether these masters had any care for this woman or not, but probably not. They had no care for her life or for her soul. The only care they had, this woman was making the money. Now that's most of the care of this world today, is I'll let you do whatever you want to do, but you don't cost me money. And Christians, if we start standing up here and start preaching the Word of God, the truth, and if we start watching folks be saved, and that's what's going to happen when we stand up to preach the truth, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, folks are saved. If folks would be saved, then we'd be start closing some taverns. We'd start making a big difference in this old world if we could stand up and people would be saved. Oh, please that you can listen to the Word of God today. Let today be the day that you turn your life around and realize that Jesus has saved you. Or maybe you realize that you've never been saved and you need to come by faith to Jesus. Will you please come today? Please come. If you've listened to me before, you'll know that I tell you this many times, that Jesus died for you. He died on the cross of Calvary. He died there for you that your sins can be dealt with, can be taken care of. You've got a sin problem. You've got such a serious sin problem that's going to condemn you to hell. Your ticket's already written out. You're already on your way. But He has come up with another means, another way that you can not go to hell, that your sin will not convict you and cause you to die in your sin. You can be alive in Jesus. And that's if you'll come to the cross of Calvary and meet Him there, because of Him being the perfect sacrifice, offered His life upon the cross that you can live. Please, dear friend, come to Jesus today and be saved. And then begin this walk, this beautiful walk through this life, with service to the Lord Jesus, that your eyes are upon God and that you can feel His presence and His power as you walk through this life. And no matter what tribulation or trouble comes your way, you can face it. Please, my friend, look unto Jesus today. We find this jailer, because of Paul and Silas, because of them preaching the gospel, and because hitting these masters right where it hurt, and that's in their pocketbook. And again, people will tolerate an awful lot of things until you start getting into their pocketbook. And when you start costing them money, when it starts costing them money, then they get a little ouchy. They get very sensitive. Now, they'll give your money away, but when you start talking about their money, about them, then it gets serious. So I ask you that you be very careful, and that you don't be controlled by whether you make money or whether somebody else makes money, but you're controlled by the love and the power of God. Now, we have two men here that, even though it cost them their freedom, they were beaten and they were thrown into jail, again for one reason, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling folks how to be saved. I don't care how much criticism that one gets. I don't care how many times that somebody wants to criticize what I say. I'm telling you that Jesus saves, and you can come by faith to Jesus. And I'm calling you today to meet Him at the cross of Calvary and be saved. And each and every one of you that are listening can come to Jesus today. There's only one person keeping you from it, and that's you. So please get out of the road. Get self out of the road and come to Jesus. This jailer was given a responsibility. And it says to keep them safely, really meant to keep them there, to secure them there. Not to let them go, but to keep them there. And he received the charge, he put them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Now, these are just two men that were arrested for such a phony, a trumped-up charge. And it all boils down to one thing. It was getting into the pocket of these two masters, or these masters that owned this woman. And it made them mad. And so they brought this false charge before the magistrates, before the council. They beat Paul and Silas, and they put them into prison. not asking, not seeing what happened, and not looking at the beautiful picture of this woman that was free. Free from that bondage of Satan. They didn't see that. They saw it cost them some money, and they got some folks to go along with them, and it ended up with Paul and Silas in prison. It didn't upset Paul and Silas too much because they were praying and singing praises unto God. Now today you got to drag people to church, and they may come and sing, but oh, are they going to pray? We've talked about different times here that, you know, if you have a preaching service, you got a pretty good crowd. You have a Bible study, you have half of that crowd. If you have a prayer meeting, you have half of that crowd. Every time. And if you really want a low crowd, if you really want a low crowd in church, you call folks together to do the business of the church. That'll get the bottom. Worship, Bible study, prayer, and the business of God. You can just take them, half each one of them, to come down the line. These men, Paul and Silas, were in prison praying and singing praise unto God. Not silently, not quietly, so that it would disrupt or hurt anybody else. Not that way at all. All the prisoners heard. And the prisoners heard them, verse 25 said. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, this man that was put in charge, if you'll go back to verse 24, the man that was put in charge, the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. He knew they were gone. This jailer had done everything he thought he needed to do. You know, he put the prisoners, I don't know if all the prisoners or just Paul and Silas, but he put them in stocks. And surely if something would happen to the door, they still couldn't get out because they'd be chained. There was no way that the prisoners could get out. And here comes this sweet miracle, this beautiful miracle. It was a miracle caused and through the power and the presence of God. But it's such a joy to watch that there's two men here that were singing praises. And can you imagine if you were next door in the prison cell to Paul and Silas? And whatever you were charged with as you were placed in that prison cell. And here at midnight, pitch dark, at midnight, here's Paul and Silas. We're not sure. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto the Lord. I don't know if they waited till midnight, if they started singing at 8 and had sung for 4 hours. But suddenly there came a great earthquake. There came a great earthquake. And again, can you imagine the one next door that was hearing those prayers? God, I ask that you would please bless Lydia and her followers, the folks that are with her. Oh, the sweet lady that's free now, that no longer has the spirit of divination. Would you bless her? Would you use her? Can you hear the prayers of Paul and Silas? Oh, Father, even this man, the jailer, that is charge of keeping us here. God, would you reach out and save his soul? And I can hear him praying for the others that are in that prison. I can hear him lifting up prayer for them and praises unto God, singing praises. Can you imagine that? In the darkness, the total darkness of the night. And yet you can hear the sounds of Paul and Silas praying. You can hear the voices of their singing as they lift up praises unto the Lord. And all of a sudden, here come this miracle, and the earthquake came, and all the doors were jarred open. The stocks were dropped from their arms, from their hands. They were no longer shackled. And when the jailer awoke and took one look and seen what the condition everything was in, he knew every prisoner was gone. At this time, if you lose a prisoner, you're put to death. The jailer, knowing he lost all of the prisoners because the doors were open, he drew out a sword to kill himself. Now Paul and Silas cried out, Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. He called for a light and sprang in and came in trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Keep in mind that this, again, is the first visit that Paul had to the city of Philippi. He arrived there from Troas, and when he arrived there, he found Lydia upon the river's bank, and he proclaimed the gospel to her, and she was saved. We found the woman with the spirit of divination, and she called out, and Paul spoke with a word, and the evil spirits left her. We find Paul and Silas now in the same town, and the same group of folks that he writes this sweet letter. Years later, he writes this letter unto the Philippians. We're not sure how much time had passed, but there is some time had passed as we look at the scripture and find that he writes this letter, because at this time, Paul, when he is writing to the church of Philippi, this letter to the Philippians, he is in prison. He's in prison in Rome. They sent help. They sent some things to assist him. They sent prayer, all the wonder and the joy of other believers helping. And this is the first time here in Acts. This is the first time when Paul arrived to Philippi and he finds these folks. So the Lord brings these folks by his way. And this jailer is another one. So we have three of them now. We have Lydia, the woman that had the spirit of divination, and we have the Philippian jailer. All these, I believe, are very strong workers to build this church of Philippi and the church that Paul is writing to with this book in Philippians. Now let's continue. Keep in mind that that's the reason we're back in Acts, is because I want you to see what this church was built upon. It was built upon folks that came by faith to Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can build a church today. You can fill those four walls with people, but you don't have a church unless they are saved, born-again Christians, born-again believers in Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can build a church. Again, you can have it full of people, but if they're not saved, you don't have a church. You got an organization. You got a group of folks that come together for a meeting. You don't have a church. I believe that God wants us to build a church. He wants us to go out, and he wants us to call in those that are lost, whether it be our family members, whether it be our neighbors, whether it be a stranger on the street that God crosses our path, whatever and whoever it might be, that we tell them that Jesus saves, and let the power of God come in by the Holy Spirit and touch that heart, and if they will surrender their will to the will of God and be saved, they become a member of the church. Oh, not a member of this church, a member of the church of Jesus Christ. Oh, please that you come to know the Lord Jesus and then join up with a Bible-preaching, soul-winning local church, ones that desires folks to be saved. Paul had a desire for folks to be saved. Paul was starting a church here. He had three members already. He had more than that because Lydia had a group with her. This woman of divination, we don't know what was who was with her, but now we have the jailer and his household. So we have a pretty nice group here for a church. We have in here the keeper of the jail sprang in. Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now look at that. You're not going to find it any clearer in the Word of God. He falls down before Paul and Silas and he asks them a question. And that question is, what must I do to be saved? He wanted to know. He was lost, he was dying, he was going to hell. And because of the prayer and the praises and the singing of praises, put the man to sleep. But you see, he still heard him. And when he awoke out of that sleep by that earthquake, the great earthquake. I was looking for the verse 26, chapter 16, verse 26. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundation of the prisons were shaken. Oh, that as that earthquake, it awakened this man. And he came down, and he knew he was ready to die. But you see, instead of that, he found life. He found life because Paul and Silas were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you say you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you don't tell people how to be saved, and you just let them alone because they go someplace else to church, or they don't go to church at all, or they don't want to hear it, well, what would have happened if Paul and Silas would have gotten mad at these people and went down into this prison and just stayed there? Instead of that, they were singing praises, they were testifying, and they were witnessing unto the Lord Jesus. And because of that, this man found Jesus Christ, because Paul and Silas brought Jesus to him. What must I do to be saved? Please, let that question come home to you today. What must you do to be saved? Well, let's find the answer. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that simple. It's that simple. You hear the call of God? Are you listening today? Will you come to the Lord Jesus? What must I do to be saved? And the response come from Paul and Silas. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." There's a time, there's a decision to be made. Please, that you don't miss that opportunity. Please, that you listen to the Word of God. Don't listen to somebody's idea and principle, and they have gotten so smart as they look through the Word of God that they've taken out these sweet pictures that we have. This man here is lost. This man here heard the gospel. And this man here come to know Jesus because he was called out. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes, and they were baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God, with all his house. That whole household was saved. Oh, isn't that a glorious picture? Isn't that a wonderful picture? How that the whole house, when he heard that, he heard the gospel proclaimed, and he wanted to know, how can I be saved? They told him how to be saved. That's the lack of the church today. That's a lack of the places today that call themselves church. They don't tell anybody how to be saved. They just take for granted they're good people, so I guess they're all right. They can act all right, but my friend, if you have not felt the call of the Holy Spirit upon your heart, confess Jesus Christ, and as it says here, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's that easy. It's that simple, but it has to be done. It's so simple that people take it for granted. They just think it's okay. I go to church. I must be saved. No, you're not. Trust in the Lord Jesus. And he took them that same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes, and they was baptized, he and his and all his straightway. You see what happens after the day that you come to know the Lord Jesus? After you come by faith to Jesus Christ, you follow the Lord in baptism. We talked about that last week, how it's so important that you follow the Lord in baptism, not for salvation, but being a command of God that you follow and listen to the command and the Word of God. Now we have Lydia, the woman of divination, and the jailer. Three beautiful pictures how people were called by the proclaiming of the Word of God, their heart was touched, and they made a decision for the Lord Jesus. What must I do to be saved? I'll tell you. The Word of God says, believe upon the name of Jesus. Oh, my friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?